This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show with all kinds of stuff coming up this hour. I'll play just a little bit of that dirtball prime minister from the UK here in just a moment. Then we'll get back to all the wonderful Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Somebody's a little upset that the taxes on tips are going to be removed, but what about his taxes? We want to know, do I wish I'd made my run for Congress a successful one? All that and so much more coming up in another hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. So I'll play this briefly. UK PM, Prime Minister UK, this Starmer guy, showed up at the White House today, hat in hand, just like we knew he was going to. Everybody has to show up and suck up to the president whenever there's a new one because everybody likes the American gravy train. Now, do keep in mind, this guy is the enemy. No question about it. He's a total communist piece of trash who is assaulting his country just the same way Joe Biden assaulted his country for 4 years. That's exactly what this guy's doing. Filling up the place with barbarians, arresting his political opponents. This guy's evil. And, you know, it was a big suck-up fest today.
And, of course, our countries have been bound together for a very long time now. The closest alliance, I think, of any two countries when it comes to prosperity and security. And I know that together we will strengthen that even further. And on issues like Ukraine, thank you for changing the conversation to bring about the possibility that now we can have a peace deal. And we want to work with you to make sure that peace deal is enduring, that it lasts, that it's a deal that goes down as a historic deal that nobody breaches. And we'll work with you to make sure that that absolutely happens.
The nerve on this guy. Thanks for the peace deal. He's one of these types that's been wanting the whole thing to go on without end. I'll just say what I've said before. I think we need to re-examine the nature of our relationship with any country that arrests people for free speech. And I'm not saying they need to become our mortal enemy. I'm really not. But, you know, we have this close alliance, like you just pointed out, with the UK. We're super, super close. We should not be. Way too close. The United States of America cannot be seen as supporting countries who arrest people for speaking out. It cannot be done. Should not be done. There should be international punishment when your citizens are thrown in prison for Facebook posts that make people uncomfortable. There should be. But that's my take on it. Let's get back to the questions because I have a ton of good ones today. Dear Shogun, I work my butt off working a full-time job, working side gigs, and playing at multiple churches a weekend for pay. Apparently, Trump's tax cut only gets rid of taxes on overtime and tips, which don't apply to me. How come I have to get taxed a higher bracket, but people in those jobs don't? What can I do to get the GOP to take into account people like me? When I add up all the taxes I pay, it's over $30,000 a year. Well, okay, first, any kind of a progressive tax code, which is what they call ours, but any kind of a tax code that treats any citizen different than another is unjust and wrong, and it should never happen, ever. Every single American, regardless of income, should pay the exact percentage, the exact same percentage in taxes. I will always believe that. I always have. I always will. Are we equal under the law or not? That's how it should work. That's just get that out of the way first. Two, that's obviously not the system we have in this country. These people, depending on income, are taxed so much here. But then once you reach a certain level, then that much is taxed even more. But wait, there's more. There's death taxes and property taxes and this tax and that tax and this tax and that. Taxed, taxed, taxed without end. Okay, we got that. That's how it works. Now, the no taxes on tips thing. I've had these emails before. No taxes on tips. Trump ranted and raved about it all the time. It was one of his campaign talking points. No taxes on tips, no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime. Trump did it. Trump said it, and he made it happen. Here's where I fall on it. One, I'm glad people will be paying less in taxes, at least some people. But two, populism can be a very dangerous thing. It can be. Sometimes populism can be wonderful. Sometimes populism can be very, very dangerous. That was all about popularity. That was about winning an election. That this is a segment of the population. I'm sure they identified, you know, people who earn money on tips. I'm sure they identified a segment of the population and they thought they could promise them something, no taxes on tips, and that would help gain those votes. Now, that's the ugly truth of how populism works. Hey, there's we'll pick a number. There's 100,000 people who make their money on tips. Let's try to get those 100,000 votes so we can win the presidency. Let's promise them we'll remove their taxes. Now, if that bothers you because it doesn't apply to you, you should know you're not alone. It bothers me, honestly. If one person gets a tax cut, we should all get a tax cut. Everybody, everyone, rich and poor. I don't differentiate. I don't care what you make. If someone gets one, we should all get one, period. But you live with populism, you die with populism. Sometimes you're on the outs. It is what it is. I mean, look at this. Doge dividend, nearly 60% back the Trump plan to give back some federal savings to the taxpayers. Now, you already heard me rant about this, that we're $36 trillion in debt. We don't need more government stimmy checks. Throw it to the debt. Throw it to the deficit. Let's get that stuff taken care of. But when you're looking at poll numbers that say almost 60% of the country wants some of that back, I bet you money they're going to try to make that happen. You live and die with populism. That's how it goes. Jesse, my husband and I love your show. We learn a lot as you present info with insight, emotion, and humor. Keeps it interesting. You ran for office, and although it would have been great to have you in Congress to insert common sense, budgetary restraint, and realism into the government, it didn't happen. Now that you're a world-famous radio host and author, as you look back, are you pleased with the road your life has taken? On the other hand, if you had been elected, how do you think that would have gone? You know, I try the best I can not to question the plan God has laid out for me in my life. And the reason I do that is not just, you know, faith. Obviously, that's the main part of it. But I've seen so many times in my life things that I wanted, a way I wanted to go, and it didn't work out because I screwed it up or just didn't work out. And then I look back on it and think, wow, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. When I ran for Congress after I got out of the Marines, remember, I was working construction. I got really mad about Obama, and I wanted to fight for my country. I'll tell you this. I ran for the right reasons. I wanted to fight for my country. I wanted to go back there and fight these scumbags in Washington, D.C. so friggin' bad. So just like now. I was the same way then as I am now. I wanted it. I wanted it badly. But obviously, that wasn't the plan God had for me. And I have to assume that he was looking out for me or looking out for somebody, even if it wasn't looking out for me. Look, remember, I was young. I was, I think I was going to be 27-year-old congressman, and I almost won. It was 4,000 votes, remember? They had to recount the vote for a week. I almost won. I was almost in Congress. Could you have imagined? I was almost in Congress. I was young, though, 27. What if I would have went bad? I'd like to think that I wouldn't have, but what if I would have? What if I did something terrible? What if I took a bribe? What if the swamp ate me up? What if, I don't know. Plus, I had a wife and two very small kids at the time. I think about all the time with them I would have missed out on. And believe me, when I lost both times, when I lost, I was crushed. Please don't take that as I lost, and that night I was all, oh, well, that's what God wanted. Life goes on. That's not at all how I responded. I was pretty devastated. I was sure I was going to win. And not only was I sure I was going to win, how naive was this? I was sure I was going to win, and I was sure I was going to go back and fix D.C. No. No one else has done it, but I will. Screw these people. That's how I was thinking about. Talk about thinking pretty highly of yourself. Apparently, I thought pretty highly of myself. I don't regret it at all. And I look, I don't want to be a politician. I didn't want to be one then either. And the good news is I feel like I probably have a lot more influence now than I would have as one member of Congress. And look, that's the idea, right? We're trying to save the country, trying to do some good out here. All right, let's talk about this mineral deal, Ukraine. Someone wants to ask about that. Someone wants to know why Elon could find all this fraud, but no one else in the government seemed to be able to. Let's talk about the Trump movement, our side. Are we divided like they say they are? All that and so much more still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's first talk about family activities for a moment. It's hard to find things on TV. You know that. It's brutal. Hard to find things that are kid-appropriate. It's almost impossible to find things that are kid-appropriate. You can't watch a football game anymore. But Hillsdale College has provided something for your family and my family, and I am eternally grateful they have. You know Hillsdale College, that elite conservative institution. They're offering more than 40 free courses online now. Meaning you and the fam, sitting on the couch, you can sit and learn about the Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic. You want your kids to learn about Gaius Marius, Julius Caesar, and don't you want to nerd out on this stuff with the fam? It's available to all of us, no matter who you are, family, single, whatever you've got. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is how you enroll. No cost. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday after kind of an Epstein file snooze fest today. Remember, you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse. So we have a minerals deal with Ukraine, and Trump says we'll continue to give them support for a while. I just don't get it. Yes, we get something of value, but what's the point of continuing this war at all? Is it so the war machine keeps getting richer? Seems like a deal would include ending this. Maybe that's the case. They're just not saying it. Okay, so wars are hard things to stop. That is just kind of how it usually goes. When you get a war rolling, when you get the war machine rolling, there is so much momentum in it, it's hard to stop it. Historically, World War One. How much do you know about World War One? I'll come back to Ukraine, but just stay with me a minute. In World War One, most people understand that Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria-Hungary, that was a country back then, he got assassinated. And immediately, allies of Serbia, allies of Austria-Hungary, everyone starts to declare war immediately. Let's go to war. Well, the armies are growing. You've mobilized the armies. The armies are now marching. You are doing all the things a country does to get ready for a war. You're stockpiling food and munitions. You've changed your economy. There is so much to getting a war going. Anyway, historically in World War One, there were people who were saying, as everything was ramping up and they were getting ready to declare war there were people who were saying, whoa, let's stop. We don't need to declare war here. And almost all of them were rebuffed with essentially, well, we can't stop it now. As if there's just nothing you can stop now. So once a war is rolling, this war has been rolling for 3 years, it has to stop in phases. It has to slow down first. And part of that is simply because one side doesn't want to be wrong-footed. You know, both sides have to agree first before a peace deal can even really be reached to a ceasefire. But you don't want to be the only guy who ceases fire, right? Hey, I'm going to cease fire, but wait, you're ceasing fire too, right? You're going to stop too. And think about this to make matters even more complicated. And this is going to be a gross oversimplification, but it'll drive home the point. Think about this. Let's say I'm Russia. Let's say I have, we'll make it easy, 10 tanks. I have 10 tanks. I have 10 tanks that are doing something specific. They are trying to flank around the side of a big Ukrainian unit. They're going to try to get around the side and get in there and wipe them out. Now, you want a ceasefire. If I stop my tanks now, then I will have lost the element of surprise. And if the ceasefire doesn't last or everything doesn't work out, then this attack that I had planned is completely ruined. Pausing, slowing down, even if it's for a day, can really screw you up with your military plans. That was obviously very, very oversimplified, but I think it drives home the point. It's hard to stop one, and before you stop one, you got to slow it down first. What's happening right now is they're trying to stake out all the parameters of what a peace deal will look like. That's why Donald Trump has said publicly, I played it for you last night, Ukraine, they're not getting into NATO, period, end of story. So don't ask, right? What are you saying that for? You're saying that so Ukraine doesn't even bring that to the negotiating table because you know that's going to be a red line for Russia. Russia will not allow it. Russia would never stop a war with a NATO country bordering it. They just wouldn't do it. They're staking out parameters. This stuff takes time. It was, honestly, you remember that show where we were talking about all the promises of we're going to do this day one. Day one, we're going to do this. Day one, we're going to do that. And I was kind of joking about it because I understand politicians really all campaign that way and they all talk that way. But day one is only so long, and lots of these things you can't do on day one of your presidency. And the Russia-Ukrainian peace deal was one of those things. Day one, we're going to put a stop to this thing. That's not how it works at all. It takes time to stop a war once a war is rolling. It just does. And speaking of World War One, it's one of many. There are a lot of examples of this where even after the peace deal has pretty much been reached, guys are still dying. Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever heard? You know, the word doesn't get to the front, or they're not sure that the other side's actually going to sign it. You can't slow down your offensive. So you've got young men out there giving up their lives completely unnecessarily. Because the war's already over. For nothing. For nothing. At that point in time, it's for nothing. It's the ugly part of it. Look, war is just terrible, man. It's awful. I realize sometimes it's necessary. I'm not a pacifist, but it's awful. Now, maybe I would be a pacifist if it wasn't for Chalk. I'm trying to think. I mean, look, I've got so much male vitality stack from Chalk running through my veins. I'm practically a bloodthirsty animal at this point in time. You understand exactly what it's like. You've been taking your male vitality stack from Chalk, have you not? This guy, Jesse, I understand your long nose hair, brother. I noticed hair growing on my knuckles the other day, and I showed my wife. Her response made sense. She said, it's that male vitality stack you take, all that testosterone in your system. See? You want high T levels? You want to be full of energy? You want to be ready for war and nose hair? Male Vitality Stack from Chalk, gentlemen. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days with natural herbal supplements. Ladies, you are not left out. Chalk is pro-women. Female Vitality Stack. Maybe you're looking for a good pre-workout. They got Chad Mode because, of course, Chalk would name it Chad Mode. Go find out about the wonderful natural herbal supplements at Chalk. I just adore those guys so much. Hardcore, they're as hardcore as we are, if not more. And huge discounts on subscriptions. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Yeah. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, churning and burning through all the Ask Dr. Jesse questions on your mind. We've tackled everything, big and small. We're only halfway through, too, so let's get to this one here. Jesse, how could Elon Musk find such gross financial fraud so easily, but none of our presidents or Congress members could ever do it? None of them. All right, so I'm going to say a couple of things here, and at least one of the things I'm going to say is going to make you very angry with me. And that's fine. You can yell and scream at me. It's fine. Remember, you can email me all your hate, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. First, let me say the thing you're going to be mad about. Our politicians and their staffers are grossly underpaid. Grossly underpaid. Stop yelling for a second. Give me a second to explain myself before you throw your phone out the window and curse my name, okay? $165,000 a year is a lot of money. I'm not pretending like it's not. It's a lot of money. That you're a top one percenter, $165,000 a year. However, for the amount of work they do, the amount of travel they do, the amount of campaigning they do, you're always on. The job itself would be incredibly boring. And I hate politicians, you know that. But I've been back to D.C. enough times, especially back when I was running. Have you ever actually watched, let alone sat in, one of those committee meetings? Oh, sure, we play 30-second sound bites of the spicy stuff on the Jesse Kelly Show every single night, as a journalist would. Quit. But have you ever actually watched for any length of time one of those meetings? Oh my gosh. It's like high school chemistry class. I want to throw myself off a building every time I've ever been there. It's brutally boring. Oh, when you're not in committee meetings, what else are you doing? You're reading boring legislation. When you're not doing that, what else are you doing? You're calling people, begging people for campaign money. Hey, the polls are close. I really could use your support, Bob. When you're not doing that, you actually have to go out and about when you get back home. You see, you and I, you know what I get to do when I'm off work? Whatever I want. The exact same thing you do. When you're a congressman, you get back home. Oh, do you think you don't want to put your feet up? Stop talking to people? Nope. You got to go out to the local county fair, which you don't give a crap about. And you have to look and be, you have to be dressed your best. You have to be ready to shake hands and kiss babies. The job would suck. For $165,000 a year? It's not enough money. You're not going to attract elite people for $165,000 a year. You are not. You're just not. And their staffers are too small. And I'm not talking about stature here. They're not all Italian. I mean, the staff is too small. They don't have enough people to even read through half of the legislation and stuff they do because the budget isn't big enough. We have politics in this country is underpaid. And understaffed. And I know you hate me for saying that. And I almost hate myself for saying it. Look, I despise all these people too. And when you see, you know, Jasmine Crockett, the last thing you think is, wow, I wish she had more money.
Instead, we're pushing conspiracy theories and some of them are killing people. It's the same thing that we have.
Yeah, I can't do that right now. I get it. I don't like them either. They're underpaid. So Elon Musk, why can he go in there and find all these things? Well, because our politicians are morons. They're generally untalented morons because the talented people are off doing something else, making more money. They're all at the private law firms and accounting firms and tech jobs, or you know, they're small business owners. They're managing something out there making better money than $165,000 a year. So that's part of the problem. But that's not the main problem. How did Elon Musk get in there and start going through the books and finding all this waste and the other guys never did? Why? Well, you know this budget they're passing, right? You've seen this budget. We've talked about it. At least you know portions of the budget. This gargantuan budget that spends way too much money and buries us further in debt. You know about it. We talked about it last night. Do you think that the Republican congressmen and senators in D.C., do you think they actually like cutting government waste? They don't have any desire to find waste, fraud, and abuse and corruption because they're all in on it too. They're all in on it too. Now, the difference is politicians, they're just so scummy. They lick their finger and stick it in the air and see which way the wind's blowing. They understand these cuts, all these Doge cuts, we're going to expose this and that, are extremely popular with the American people right now. Again, all this Doge stuff where they're exposing this and that, it's at 60% approval with the country. The country loves it. So what happens? You get some uber goober like John Cornyn, the senator from the state of Texas, who has signed every single gigantic spending bill that's ever crossed his desk. He's voted yes on all of it. And yet John Loser Cornyn can't get his stupid face off the TV or off of social media. Man, Elon Musk is doing great things. Wow, me and Trump, what a dream team. He's trying to not get primaried by Trump next year in the Texas primary. And I've told you, that's what'll doom us. Because there's a chance that Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General, is going to run against John Cornyn. And Ken Paxton could probably and probably would beat John Cornyn in a primary. But if John Cornyn manages to suck up to Trump enough to get Trump's endorsement, race over, gone, we're toast. But that's what they do. They all act like they want to cut waste. Wow, I'm glad we're getting to the bottom of this stuff. When all these dorks have been in Washington, D.C. forever, they could have been doing this stuff forever, and yet no one even had any interest in it at all. None. It's all pretend. It's all for show. Jesse, my social media feed has been flooded with articles the past few days about how Trump supporters are divided and that he's losing support because of all the things he's doing, especially the partnership with Elon and what Doge is doing. Is this a new tactic from the left? Are they trying to sow seeds of doubt to sway any normies thinking people are unhappy with Trump? Yes. Yes. Anyone who has said something to you, Trump's losing it, he's losing his popularity, this isn't what people voted for. Have you heard anyone say that? This isn't what people voted for. People didn't vote for this. This is not my opinion. Every single public opinion poll that's been taken in the last month says that people are happy. People are happy. They are. The American people are thrilled. And the right is pretty much united in lots of this stuff. Now we're going to quibble about things like the budget and things like that, but the right is very united, but the communists have always understood propaganda better than the right does. You see, propaganda, in whatever form it is, whether it's commie propaganda or not, propaganda, when it's really, really good, when it's done well, you'll have people buying it without realizing it's propaganda, but more importantly, you'll have people spreading it on their own without realizing they're a mark. You'll have that. The George Floyd's actually a great example. I love using that one because it was a great example of that. Whoa, Americans are so angry that black men are being hunted down like dogs by the police. There's no statistical evidence of that whatsoever. None. Zero. But people read it in one article, two articles. And then soon, without realizing you'd just been lied to, now you're saying it to your friend. Now you're discussing it over dinner. Now you're done. Soon, you are spreading the propaganda because you bought it hook, line, and sinker. No, the right is very, very united right now, as united really as I've ever seen. The only real division that I can tell is still the old guard, angry that Trump came back, and now they're even angrier that he's popular because now they really know they're toast. I'm angry at you for ignoring the pain in your life. That's what I'm angry about. What, Chris? I'm angry. You don't need to sit there and be in pain all day long. That back pain right between the shoulder blades always has you wincing. Your knee. How many times a day do you do that thing where you flex your leg up and down because your knee hurts? Maybe you reach down and rub it. Why are you doing that when Relief Factor is there to take your pain away? Relief Factor removes the pain from your life. It doesn't mask it. It removes it. Because it's 100% drug-free supplement that supports your body's natural response to inflammation. Your body's already fighting that inflammation as hard as humanly possible. It just needs a little help. That's what Relief Factor is here for, a little help. You want to try it for 3 weeks? If it doesn't work, don't order anymore. $19.95 lets you try it for 3 weeks. ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. All right. Now, the media being restricted. What do I make of that? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, a wonderful Thursday. And it's also wonderful because, you know, that the guy I said, he is running for president, but the guy I think might be the Democrat nominee, J.B. Pritzker of Illinois. The good news is he's an idiot.
The prices at the grocery store are going up because democracy is being taken away. The impact on you.
What does that even mean? These people. Jesse. The fact that Trump restricts certain news media to access, I believe it's great. If they're fake news, they should be restricted. The other side will say they only want Trump-supportive media. What say you? No, listen, I don't view the media as media. Well, most of it. Just because you call yourself a journalist doesn't mean you are one. This is done in jest.
It's Journalist Jesse.
It's only funny because I'm not one. I'm an opinionated radio host. I'm not a journalist. I am not. Just because you say you're media doesn't mean you are. The American media views itself as the sword and shield of the Democrat Party, of American communism. And they've operated that way for as long as I've been alive. What has happened is the communist is losing control of the messaging. That's what has happened, and it's amazing. The communist must have control at all times. I used this example a long time ago, but I'll use it again. Do you know any Democrats? Do you have any? You have any in your life? I know you do, poor Chris. But do you have any Democrats in your life? Do they say things that are just so factually incorrect, you find yourself looking at them just completely dumbfounded? You know, the Russian collusion, Hunter Biden's laptop was misinformation, just crazy stuff like that. Of course they do. But why? Well, what the communist media does, what the system does, is they build a fake world, a facade around their biggest followers, their most hardcore followers, who are almost always the dumbest people. They build something fake around them and convince them it's real. Just like a TV sitcom or a movie set where obviously the walls are styrofoam. They're not actually wood on there. The stove doesn't even turn on. It's not hooked up to anything. The windows where you can see outside of the window. You actually can't see outside. That's just a picture they put on a board that makes it look like you can see outside. None of it's real. And you, being the hyper-informed, you can look down at that TV sitcom set and you know that it's not real. But for your liberal Aunt Peggy, she's standing inside of it. For her, it's all real. She exists entirely in a world of make-believe. Of make-believe, she has no idea what is real whatsoever. And that world has been constructed for her on purpose by the American media. They construct that world for her. They lie without end. The vaccine stops the spread. And she will believe things that are just completely factually incorrect. And she will fight tooth and nail thinking they're actually real. The problem for the American media, and one of the reasons the Trump administration, they're kneecapping the traditional organizations, ABC, NBC, CBS, these organizations. Part of the reason the media is freaking out is that facade, that TV sitcom set. What happens if somebody removes that fake window? Then all of a sudden, liberal Aunt Peggy, who was just looking at the window and she thought, wow, it's sunny and nice outside. Now she can just see a bunch of cameras and wires and things like that. What happens if liberal Aunt Peggy figures out that she lives in a world of make-believe? The communist must have you in that world of make-believe because the truth is horrific. The truth of communism, the truth of what he wants is horrific. I'll tell you this. You know your liberal Aunt Peggy? She probably genuinely doesn't know that Democrats filled up this country with rapists and murderers in the last 4 years on purpose. I bet she doesn't even know that much about the rapists and murderers. I bet she would fight you. Well, I bet you she would argue till she's blue in the face that if it happened, it was once or twice, and it was definitely an accident. But people make mistakes. It's all documented. Democrats did it on purpose. We know why they did it on purpose. Everyone can see it, but she can't. If she can glimpse what is real, if she can just one glimpse outside of that world of make-believe, she might wake up. She might wake from her slumber and realize that she's been living in a world of make-believe. That's why communists have always controlled information so tightly. It's the maybe the most important right you have, you know, freedom of speech. It's in the communist's mind, it's the most important right to stifle. Because if people can just say whatever they want to say, well, then his lies can never, ever, ever build the world of make-believe he needs to make for them. I don't view the American media as media. I call them apparatchiks for a reason. NBC News is not a news organization. I don't care how much gel the nightly news anchor puts in his hair. They're not a news organization. I don't care how many cameras they have. CBS, what they pulled was 60 Minutes, and I'm sure Trump's going to get a settlement for that. He said he would on camera the other day. He said, I think they're going to settle with me. 60 Minutes flat out changed Kamala Harris's answer because she's such an unbelievable moron. They didn't want to air it, so they just cut it and pasted a totally different answer on there and then aired it on 60 Minutes. I used to watch 60 Minutes with my parents when I was a child. You would turn on 60 Minutes. Hey, they're doing a special on this. They're doing a news story on this tonight. A long, revered institution in this country. And instead, we were just being lied to forever. 60 Minutes. We're not even talking about Huffington Post here or MSNBC. The media isn't media. All right. Here's a heavy one. Hey, Jesse. I was born and raised Lutheran, and I've learned that the Lutheran Church has had a huge role in pushing illegals into our country. It seems Catholics have, too. Is there even a branch of Christianity that hasn't gone full commie? I don't want to donate to a church that funds this crap. All right, so we are going to have a heavy discussion in a moment. Before we have that heavy discussion, let's have this one. Babies are still dying at an alarming rate in this country. Abortion is just as popular as it's ever been. A big part of that now is the evil of the abortion pill. Over 64% of abortions, it's abortion pill. Meaning the abortion clinic is her home, her bathroom. How do we fight against evil that can be mailed? Preborn does. Preborn will find these women who have already made the decision to kill their babies, and preborn will introduce these mothers to their babies through ultrasound. Ultrasound has been the greatest tool in the pro-life movement I've ever seen in my life. Once she hears the heartbeat, she chooses life almost every time. And whatever you give the preborn is tax deductible. You realize that? $28 buys the ultrasound. It buys a life. But give them as much as you want, much as you can. Write it off. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.